Just a show of hands, actually. How many people have worked with silencers before? Okay, pretty much everybody. So what I wanted to go through today is understanding the basics of silencers and how they actually work when installed in the system. So the agenda for the session, we'll start out with what is a silencer, some terms and definitions that people use every day, basic silencer types, silencer performance, ASTM testing methods, selecting silencers properly, and just a short discussion on system effects, how the silencer reacts when installed in a real-world situation, not actually in the laboratory. So the first question, what is a silencer? The question you have to ask yourself is, what is noise? So noise is defined as unwanted sound. That's noise that is what we don't want to hear. So when, a silencer is designed to reduce the transmitted noise from what we call the source to receiver. Now, if you think of that in a air handling system, it would be from the air handling unit to the occupied space where we are here through the ductwork. Now, the way the silencer works, you have internal baffles inside that basically absorb the sound and energy. And that baffle configuration determines the aeroacoustic performance. Now, you may find yourself looking through manufacturers' catalogs on silencers, and you see all these different models. And the reason why there are so many models is because each model has its own baffle configuration and reacts differently to when installed in the system. So some basic terms and definitions that I wanted to go through when we talk about silencers: face area, face velocity, positive and negative flow, insertion loss, dynamic insertion loss, breakout noise, self noise, percent open area, and pressure drop. So when we talk about face area of the silencer, when you're sizing a duct, you know, you calculate your face area, which is basically the width times the height. And that's the same way that we look at the silencers, except what's important when selecting a silencer is what's called the face velocity. And the face velocity is simply the CFM of your system divided by the face area of the silencer. So you can see here in the picture, we have our airflow coming through into the silencer, and we're calculating our width by our height. So positive-negative flow. This is shown in manufacturers' catalogs. Very simply, when we talk about positive or forward flow, we have our noise source here, our fan, and we're going through the silencer to our listener. So the airflow and noise generated by the fan is going in the same direction towards the listener. In reverse flow or negative flow, the fan is pulling the air backwards. You could think of it as like a return condition away from the listener, but we still have fan noise going through the duct towards the listener. And you'll notice that when you look at silencer data for insertion loss, the negative flow usually is higher, and that's because it works to our advantage that the air and sound are going in opposite directions. So when we talk about insertion loss, or what level of reduction you're going to get when you put the silencer inside the duct, insertion loss is defined basically as you have a sound source going down the duct into a in the testing lab situation, into a reverberation room. And the insertion loss is simply the measurement between the empty duct and the silencer inserted. So you define it as the sound pressure level of the empty duct minus your pressure level of the silencer, and that gives you an insertion loss. Now, later on, we'll talk about dynamic insertion loss, which actually adds the airflow noise into the system. Breakout noise is the noise that comes through the duct outer casing. This also can be a problem on the silencers as well. And we'll talk a little bit about things that we can do to the silencer to prevent breakout noise into the occupied space below. Self-noise is another thing that we talk about with silencers. Self-noise is the noise generated by the silencer alone. So sources of self-noise, you can have interaction with the perforated material inside, and entrance or exit impact with turbulent air coming into the baffles and out of the baffles. Now, the effects of self-noise, this is showing in both the forward and reverse flow, but when you talk about self-noise, you're just measuring here's your fan, your noise source, and we're measuring the noise level going through the silencer, nothing else, towards the listener. And again, forward and reverse flow. Now, measuring self-noise, a typical setup for measuring this in the test laboratory, you have your fan, and then you have a systemic silencer. The systemic silencer takes out the fan noise, because all we want to measure is the noise level going through the silencer itself. And that's measured in the reverberation chamber. And we also use a reference sound source to calibrate the room and then add that back in to convert from sound power, sound pressure back to sound power. Now, percent open area is the main ingredient, so to speak, of silencers. This is how the baffles are laid out. This is not something generally given out by manufacturers, but what I wanted to show here is basically the difference between these two silencers here. And what we call the air passage is where the actual airflow is going through the silencer, and then we call our acoustic baffles what's inside the silencer, which is actually absorbing the noise. So what I wanted to show here is that if we take, for example, that this is 50% open area, so this silencer you'd have 25% here, 25% here, but this silencer you have 50% in the center of the silencer, okay? But the difference between the two is these two silencers, even though they have the same percent open area, 50%, it's completely different acoustical performance. This silencer is for more low-frequency performance because we have a thicker baffle, but this silencer is more for mid- to high-frequency performance because we have multiple thinner baffles. The other thing to notice is, if you look here, and I'm sure you've seen the inside of when we have perforated material, if you look here, we have two surfaces that are absorbing the sound. On this silencer, we have four, so that helps increase the performance at the mid- to high range. The other thing to notice is this silencer down here in the bottom left is what we would call a bank. Now, typically air handling units have banks of silencers, just for example, inside the unit. There are multiple silencers put together. But what we would expect in this case, this silencer is simply two of these next to each other, so we'd expect almost the same performance. Now, if we look at acoustical performance, if we take four different silencer models, but we look at them at the same length, so these are all 5 feet long, you can see that over the spectrum between 63 and 8K, there's a wide variety of performance. And what Mark was saying before, how with the fans you try to shift it up a band, well, you can notice that as we go from 63 up to 1,000, you know, our performance, no matter what model it is pretty much increasing. Some are better at the low frequencies, some are better at the mid to high frequencies. And this is another illustration of basically now we're going to change the length of the silencer. We're going from 3, 5, 7, 10, which is usually the standard sizes. And as you can see, the graph looks the same, the peak in the graph, but our attenuation is increasing as we increase the length of the silencer. Now, pressure drop is another thing that we look at with silencers. Very simply, when you measure it in the lab, you have pitot tubes on either side of the silencer, and we're measuring the static pressure across the silencer itself in the duct. Now, some basic silencer types that everybody may have seen: rectangular units, circular units, elbow silencers. These are the three most common. Dissipative versus reactive. Now, dissipative silencers have acoustic fill in the baffles. Reactive silencers have no fill, and we'll talk a little bit about that. Basically, it's a tuned chamber. You don't get as much acoustical performance out of these, but some projects require this. They don't want any fill in the silencer. Now, basic silencer options. Okay, we have what we call film lining. Now, this was originally designed for hospital situations where when you install a silencer in the ductwork, the hospital doesn't want any particles such as the fill material, anything going down the duct. So what we do is we encapsulate that fill in a mylar type material that doesn't allow any particles to go into the airstream. The problem with this is that while you do get a little bit better performance at the lower frequencies, the mid to high bands are impacted significantly because the film doesn't allow the film lining doesn't allow the acoustic fill to absorb as much sound. Now, HTL, or high transmission loss casing, this goes back to what we were talking about before with breakout noise. One of the ways that we can combat breakout noise is, let's a common situation for this is you have an air handling unit on the roof of a building. It's the supply is coming directly down, and there's an elbow below an occupied space or a sensitive space. So what we do is we beef up the casing of the silencer. You know, standard construction is usually 18 to 22 gauge. Maybe you'll go down to 16, 14, even down to 10 gauge or a double wall construction to keep that noise inside the duct and not break out into the occupied space. Another thing that we do is what we call external baffles. These are typically used for high velocity applications. You'll see this a lot in elbow silencers because usually what happens with an elbow is it's going into a location where there's not enough room for a regular silencer. And typically elbows have a much higher pressure drop than a straight silencer. So what we do is we take the baffle, the outer baffle, and put it outside the silencer. So you're actually increasing the open area inside to allow more smoother airflow through the silencer. But we're still picking up that performance because even though this baffle is outside the silencer, we still have the same thickness and we're getting near the same performance. So we talk about ASTM E477 testing, I'm sure. You've seen this in manufacturer's data. This is how silencers are tested in the laboratory. Each manufacturer will test to the latest standard. We measure acoustic and aerodynamic performance. That includes the dynamic insertion loss, pressure drop, and the self-noise numbers that are published in catalogs and online. And how we measure this, you could see here's a duct run here where the silencer would go. Usually you have a bunch of different sizes so that you can fit numerous lengths of silencer in there. Different rectangular, you convert rectangular to round, can transitions. This is the inside of a reverberation chamber. This is where we measure the actual noise levels. It's a hard surface room. So just quickly, measuring dynamic insertion loss. How this is measured is, we talked about this systemic silencer before. We have a fan. We have the silencer in front of the fan to take all the fan noise out. But in front of this silencer, we have a noise source, a loudspeaker, that puts the fan noise back in. The reason why that's done is when you have the empty duct versus with the silencer inserted, you have to change the fan speed to get the same flow through the duct. So when you change the fan speed, you're getting a different noise level from that fan. So what we do is you take out this fan noise, like I said before, and we put in a constant after with the loudspeaker. So all we're measuring is we're actually getting that empty duct measurement and then subtracting out the silencer, which gives us the dynamic insertion loss. And when we say dynamic insertion loss versus just insertion loss, the dynamic part includes the airflow flowing through the duct. So just quick on silencer selection. The main thing to know about selecting a silencer, it is a balancing act between acoustical performance and the pressure drop. So for when we talk about just standard silencers out of off the shelf, so to speak, units, as we increase our acoustic performance or as we make that baffle tighter, we're going to increase the pressure drop. So a basic rule of thumb from my consulting days was, and this is not, this can change depending on the conditions, but a good starting point is you want to design for 1,000 feet per minute or less, and a pressure drop of 0.2 or less. So for proper selection, we need the CFM, that's going through the duct. We need the duct size to calculate our phase velocity. And we need, if there are, acoustical and aerodynamic performance. Are there insertion loss values we're trying to meet? Are there pressure drop numbers we're trying to meet? But remember that when you look in the manufacturer's catalog for performance, the performance listed is the laboratory test. It does not include system effects. So when we say system effects, we mean when we take that silencer and put it into the duct system, the way that the engineer has laid it out, what is going to happen? So I just wanted to conclude with just some basic design guidelines or what happens, for example, when we have an elbow, a silencer near an elbow. So we have either downstream or upstream. And by the way, this formula here is for the equivalent duct diameter. That's something that silencer manufacturers will recommend. You have to be a certain amount of equivalent duct diameters away from the elbow in this case. But all I wanted to show here is that if you look at this situation with elbows, we're looking at the factor here that's going to impact the pressure drop. So if we, for example, on this elbow with the turning vanes inside, because that's a more ideal condition than without, so if we're three duct diameters away from the elbow and we place the silencer there, there's no change in the pressure drop of what's shown in the literature, basically. However, when we go closer and closer to the elbow, even if we're directly connected, we can be up to four. The pressure drop can be up to four times what's shown in the catalog. Now, we were just talking about this in TC 2.6 about how this really is just about pressure drop, but we're discussing what happens to the acoustic performance if there is any change there. So that's something that is a hot topic now. But this is one situation. Now another thing that is mentioned here. When we always want to position the silencer so that when the air flows through, the baffles are parallel with the turn. Now, this you can do this. The only problem with this way, because typically we recommend that the baffles are vertical, and the reason why we do that is as the silencer length increases, when they're oriented in this way, the baffles can sag a little bit. So we typically recommend that the baffles are put in vertically. The other example for this is actually exiting to atmosphere. So we have a fan here, and we're exiting outside. Also, there's the intake. And these are just some entrance and exit factors. So you can see, based on different types of silencers, entrance is pretty much the same. You can have a little bit of variation on the exit, but they're all within the same realm. So one of the things that we can do to minimize the pressure drop difference here is some sort of bell mouth, or a gradual expansion of the duct, which will greatly reduce the pressure, reduce the factor that would affect the pressure drop. And that's basically, just want to give you an overview. Any questions at all, or?
Mike Valentine, State Department. Curious on the breakout noises. When you're going to a sound trap that is actually rated for an STC level to be achieved, What does the manufacturer do for breakout noises on that, or is it accepted that it's already covering a breakout noise through the side?
There are special sounds. There's one example of what you're talking about would be a skiff room.
Exactly.
Okay, and those silencers are rated. The STC rating is through the casing, and the typical construction of that is it has an outer layer, two layers of material, and then another layer of sheet metal on the outside of that. So you get that STC rating through the side and also through the silencer, because they're typically 7, 10, or 12 feet long.
Exactly. Yeah.
Right.
The other question I was going to ask is regarding A's that want to argue that, oh, gee, we can line the ductwork and achieve the same thing as putting in a sound trap so they don't suffer the pressure drop of the sound trap. What do you have to say about that?
Compared to duct lining?
Yeah.
Well, you can get much better performance from a shorter length with the silencer because the baffles are thicker. There's not much low-frequency performance with the duct liner. If you're going to get it, you need a really long run. And typically with the silencer, we can achieve that at much shorter length.
Yeah, I was thinking you put in the duct friction of a duct liner, and you've just added up to equal the same thing.
Right, right.
Then Jake Wong from Trend. Just a quick question on the insertion loss.
Yeah.
You have a reverberation room. How come you show it as a sound pressure for insertion loss, not sound power?
Well, we're measuring sound pressure in the reverberation room, and then we convert it back to sound power.
Okay, so you have an equivalent. That number should be equivalent to your sound power reduction, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm Ron Thomas. I'm a consulting engineer. Dan, could you go back two slides?
Sure.
To the system effect. I guess I didn't quite understand the upstream and downstream factors. Is that a factor that's applied to the pressure drop?
Yes.
Is that slide correct that it's showing that without turning vanes, there's less pressure drop than there is with turning vanes?
No, because if you look at this here, one duct diameter, we're two without. With the turning vanes, we're a little less, so it's actually better.
Okay, I misread it. Okay, thank you.
Yep. Any other questions? Okay. Thank you.